Well, tonight is part two of Raising the Bar, as I already said, but last week we said that in order to prepare for this year and raise the bar, we need to do three things. First thing was that we were going to take an honest look with God at ourselves. Get alone, pray, and take an honest look. And not just an honest look all by ourselves, because we could beat ourselves up. We could really get down on ourselves and say, you're just a whelp. You're not going anywhere in 2009. You failed in 2008. Now 2009, you're just going to stay in the dirt. But as we take an honest look with God at ourselves, God says, you know what? Here's where you're at. Here's where you're going. Here's where you're headed. Here's what it is that I see you as. And we start to see ourselves in light of what God sees us. And now all of a sudden there's hope. There's a purpose. There's a plan. And God will be honest with you. Second thing we said was to fix our eyes on the goal, and the goal is always Christ. The goal is always Jesus, setting our gaze to heaven where Jesus is and fixing our eyes on the goal. Whatever it is that God's shown you, the answer to that thing that God has shown you is Jesus. And so as we fix our eyes on Him, we get ourselves that focus and that aim in our lives. And the third thing we said last week was to go in God's direction. And we're going to spring from that because when you go in God's direction, how many of you know the Bible says that the Christian life is likened to a race? You guys know that terminology from the Bible. That a lot of times in the Bible it says that we run our race with joy, that we're in a race. And Paul says, we'll read it tonight, that I don't want to run my race and then at the end find out I'm disqualified because I didn't do something right. So we're going to take a look at that tonight. But before we do, I want to turn to Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, it's in the Old Testament. Find it right after Isaiah. In Jeremiah chapter 12, and take a look at one verse, powerful verse. We're talking about raising the bar. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5 says this. It says, if you run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? Now you might be saying, Pastor Dan, what is a footman? Why are we running with horses? What is the floodplain of the, what are we talking about here? Well, let me put it in today's terms, okay? If you run with the footman, basically if you ran a race against men and you got tired out and you lost, what makes you think that you're going to go run against a horse? You guys get that picture? And then he says, if you're running a race on level ground, okay, out in an open field, it's level all the way across, it's nice spongy grass, and if you run across that field and you get wore out and you trip and you fall and you stumble, but it was your home turf and you knew it, and that's where you're lying down at the end, seconds before the finish line, you're collapsing. He says, and what makes you think you're going to run down by the riverbank when it's in flood season and there's all sorts of thickets and thorns and briars and all that kind of stuff and that you're going to run a race down there? How many of you know that's kicking it up a notch? Bam! Like, I mean, that's really taking the race to a new level. And God is saying to us tonight, let me put it in San Bernardino terms because you all are staring at me like a cow looking at a new barn. You all are kind of like, whoa, Pastor Dan, you got real serious real fast. But here's the thought tonight. If you can't win in the Little League, what makes you think that you're going to go play in the majors? Am I talking to anybody tonight? A lot of times we look at a year and we say, man, glad that year's over. Glad 2008 is over. I'm just done with that year, man. I can't handle any more of the depressing news. Gosh, it just wore me out. Lots of bad stuff happened. And God's saying, if 2008 wearied you, what are you going to do in 2009? If you can't win in the Little League last year, what makes you think you're going to play in the majors this year? Remember, the past is in the past. We're living in today. We're living in this year. And so God is saying, in order to raise the bar, if you ran a race with men, how are you going to contend with horses? If you ran a race on level ground, how are you going to run a race when it gets rocky? See, no one ever said that the Christian life was easy. And if they did, they didn't know what they were talking about. Because the Christian life is not easy. It's hard. The Bible says with much struggling, much travail, we enter the kingdom of God. Paul said that we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. See, the Christian life is something hard. Jesus says, narrow is the way. Small is the gate, and there's few who find it. It's hard to find. Why? Because the Christian life is not easy, but it's the greatest thing that you're ever going to do in your life. And you can run, and you have the ability to run and not grow weary. You have the ability to walk and not grow faint. Why? Because God is with you. He's living on the inside of you. And so God is giving us a natural example, and he's saying, if you ran a race with the footman, what makes you think you're going to run against horses? Now, that doesn't mean we can't run against horses. Because my Bible tells me that Elijah ran against a chariot, and he outran it. In the natural, he did. That was something that was miraculous. So in the spirit realm, when we come up against 2009, and I would love to come to you tonight and tell you, man, we're going to raise the bar on 2009, get you all riled up and excited, and we're all shouting and spitting and hollering. Maybe we dance a little jig and we run around the room and talk about how great 2009 is going to be, but I'm not telling you that. I'm saying if you can't hang with 2008, what makes you think you're going to run in 2009? See, Christians, we need to get tough. We need to get tougher than our toughest day. And you can only do that by linking up with the Spirit of God. See, when you raise the bar, it's not just you setting a higher expectation. This is not the world saying, this year I'm going to lose weight. You know, this is not us saying, I'm going to quit smoking. This is not us doing any of that kind of stuff. I'm going to stop messing around on God, you know? No, this is us saying, okay, God, take a look at me. Where am I at? Show me, God. And lead me in the way everlasting. Get your focus and then start running in the direction that God has for you. And God says, listen, if you ran last year and it wearied you, what do you got to do this year to run? What do you got to do when the horses come up and it's your turn to run? Let's take a look at it tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is what I was alluding to earlier when I was talking about the race. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 24 through 27 says this. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Verse number 26 comes along and says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. And then finally, verse 27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Right there in these four verses, we find a couple things that we need to do in order to run in God's direction. Remember last week, we ended with, go in God's direction. Get your gaze, get your focus, get your aim, and then start running. So what is it going to take for us in 2009 as we raise the bar to run in the direction that God has called us to? And these are some practical things that I'm going to give you tonight that you can take a look at your own life and you can see, wow, okay, as I raise the bar in this area of my life, this is what I got to do. As I raise the bar, you know what? I need to see what Jesus has called me to, and maybe I need to do these things, and we'll take a look at them. Three things. How do we run in God's direction? First one is temperance. Temperance. Now, I know we don't use the word temperance a lot. Some people call this self-control. The real meaning is that you have control or power over yourself. So you could say, well, Pastor Dan, isn't that self-control? Yes and no. The reason why I say no is because if it's just self-control, that means that you're doing it all. I got control over myself. That means that if I wanted to stop eating, I stopped eating. It was mind over matter, my will, I stopped eating. But you know, God has never called us to do anything without him. God always wants a partnership in our life. God always wants to be involved in our life. And not just be involved, he wants ownership. And he wants the glory when it's all over. Because he's worth it and because it is his anyways. And so it's not just self-control, but it's power over yourself. You guys getting this? Because when your spirit links up with the Spirit of God and you put the flesh underneath and you say, no, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because the Word of God says that I should be temperate in all things. That's when you get temperance, as it's stated in the Bible. It's power under the control of the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of you. Is anybody getting this tonight? It's okay to say amen. Let's look at verse 25 again. It says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. See, we've got our eyes fixed on the goal. We know where we're going. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, then God says you're headed for heaven. You're no longer going to hell. And now there is a crown awaiting you. There is a reward for you in heaven. Everybody who competes in a worldly race, only one guy gets the number one spot. There's only one guy getting a gold medal. There's one guy getting a silver medal. There's one guy getting a bronze medal. And in some of the lesser races, maybe there's a fourth place courtesy ribbon or something like that. Maybe a pat on the back or good on you, mate. Something like that. But the Bible tells us that every Christian that runs gets a prize. And that we run not to obtain something that's going to fade. I mean, the gold that's here on earth is going to burn. And back in the day when Paul was writing, he was talking about those, you know, like the Caesar wreath that they had. You know, that stuff just withered away. That was just plants. And he says, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. Ours for eternity is our crown. We get it. It's ours. We keep it. And we cast it down at the feet of Jesus and we say, this is all yours anyways, God. We give it back to him for all eternity. But in order to get that crown, we have to be temperate. We have to have ourself under control. Young adults, you've got to handle yourself. You've got to get yourself under control. We are all over the place. Did you know that older people look at us and they say, my goodness, people are out of control. Where are they getting that idea? Getting that idea from the things that they see on TV about young adults? Man, you can watch any television show and you see all these people acting crazy and then it says like Alyssa, age 24, you know? I watched a show the other day and I looked at Jess and I said, my goodness, they could go to shift. Man. Where these people are doing everything, you know? They're going out to the bars, they're sleeping around, they're doing all this kind of stuff. And people are looking at us and they're saying, man, young adults, they're all over the place. But we as Christians ought to live according to another set of rules, to a higher standard. And that standard is the bar that God has raised for us and said, hey, this is where you're at. This is where you need to be. And we raise the bar and we say, okay, God, that's my goal. All right, I'm going to be temperate. You know, athletes, man, they don't eat junk. They don't eat junk food. They don't go out and splurge. They don't binge. They don't miss a practice. Every day they're running. If they're an Olympian, man, for 4 years they practice for one race and maybe they're going to win. Listen, you guys, 4 years, one race, and it's all done. And every day for 4 years, they're eating right. They're abstaining from things that they would rather be doing. They could be out watching movies. They could be resting on the couch. They could be eating whatever they want, but they don't. They abstain. I heard a thing about guys that do the sharpshooting, the targets. Now, you would think that's probably an easy sport. But as I was reading, I was finding out that these guys don't eat certain foods because it causes their digestive system. And actually, 24 hours before they go to shoot, they don't eat anything so that while they're aiming, their stomach's not moving on them. Hello? Are you kidding me? I missed a meal today and you would have thought I was dying. You know, it was like I'm going and knocking on my wife's door. Are you ready for dinner? Come on, let's go. We missed lunch. Let's go, you know? These guys don't eat 24 hours before so that there's no food in their system rolling around so that they don't get off their aim. Also, listen to this. One of the guys was saying that he ran on a regular basis so that he could get his heart rate down to one beat so that he knew when his heart was going to beat per certain amount of seconds. I don't even know how to find my pulse. let alone I'm going to go run so that I can get my heart rate down so that it's only beating a certain number of beats per minute, you know? So they get their heartbeat rhythm going. There's nothing going on down here. And they're so focused. And then also they have to look at the wind. They have to look at the trajectory. They have to know how heavy the bullet is that they're shooting. I mean, you've got to be crazy to do that sport. Let me just get a gun and shoot at a target, you know? But listen, Jesus said the road is narrow. It's hard to find. And in order for us to get there, we've got to have a focus. We've got to be temperate. We've got to say, you know what? I'm going to abstain from these things. Even though these things are okay, yeah. You know what? I'm a young adult. I could smoke. I could drink. I could go certain places, hang out at the bars or the casinos or do whatever I want to do. But are those things good for us? Are those things helping us with our focus and our direction? What is it that we're doing with our lives that we're saying, you know what, God has raised the bar. God, show me where I'm at. And now what is it going to take for me to aim? What is it going to take for me? You know, I had mentioned we missed a meal today, my wife and I, in the month of January, in order to get ready for the third service that The Rock's going to in February. February 1st, we're going to three services, 8, 10, and 12, Sunday mornings. And so Pastor Jim and Deborah called us to a fast and called the church to a fast. If you didn't know about it, you can jump in, you know. And so we decided, hey, no cookies, no candy, no sweets, no none of that kind of stuff, cake and all that kind of ice cream, get it out of the house, you know. And then we decided, well, you know what, let's do coffee as well, because every morning, first thing in the morning, you know, the kids have been up all night and this and that. And so coffee's been like our best friend every morning. And so we said, you know what, way too dependent on that. And we're going to seek the Lord and we're just going to go for the, you know, go for the gusto, no coffee, no caffeinated beverages, no sodas, nothing carbonated, it's too much sugar, all that kind of stuff. And so we got rid of that. And then we said, and one meal a week we're gonna skip. We're going to fast one meal a week. Now, how many of you have ever tried fasting? It's okay. Okay, a bunch of you guys have tried fasting. Isn't it amazing how, like, you know, the first day, I remember January 1, man. Woke up, didn't have a cup of coffee, everything was great. I'm like, I got this. And then January 2nd came, and I was like, Lord, how long, you know? What is it when we start to deny the flesh, when we start to get that temperance? You know, you could go work out. Oh, yeah, man, this is great. Oh, yeah, you know? Next day you wake up, I'm not that sore. Shoot. What's up, you know? Do some stretches, you're good. Day two comes along and you're like, you know, oh, you know, somebody comes up to you, hey guy, how you doing? You're like, ah. Temperance, putting yourself under the control of God. It's godly control in your life. If the athlete, the soldier, the student, and the merchant can deny themselves to gain their ends, why can't we as Christians deny ourselves to gain his ends? It's the first thing tonight. It's temperance. Second thing we find in verse number 26, it says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. The second thing that we need is certainty. See, he says, I run thus, not with uncertainty. When you've got the goal, when you've got that aim, you've got that direction, you've got a certainty. If you have the word of the Lord, let me tell you something. You don't have to second guess it. If you know the Bible says don't have sex outside of marriage, meddle in someone's business, don't do it. You've got the word of the Lord on it. You've got a goal. You've got a focus. You've got an aim. If you know it's wrong, don't do it. If you know the Bible says don't get drunk, what are you doing? Why are you even playing? See, we've got to focus, we've got to aim. For 2009, what is it in your life? So I encourage you guys to go home and pray and get alone with the Lord and find out personally what it is. Because remember, we're having a commitment service on the 30th. We're going to write those things down. We're going to believe God. We're going to lock them up, and then at the end of the year, we're going to open it back up and see what God has done. Just see where God has taken us. But we can't do that if we don't have an aim. You know, if you're running a race, if you're running a marathon, you know, and you don't know where you're going, you're not going to make it to the finish line. You're going to be wandering around. You know what? If I ever went to the Boston Marathon and I started out at the starting line, I would just follow someone until I got to the end. You know, I don't even know where the, what is that, the dead hill or whatever. I don't even know what it's called, see? How can you run in a race where you don't know? You know, you might end up running to somebody's house. Remember one time Pastor Deborah shared a story that she was in the Coachella Valley, in the desert area out there with her parents, and they were driving, and she was trying to find the freeway again. She couldn't find them. And she had her dad in the passenger seat with her, and her dad says, well, hey, Debbie, come on, just follow this guy. He looks like he knows where he's going. And so they're driving, they're following this guy, and all of a sudden, she pulls around this corner, and the guy stops, and she stops, and they look, and they're in line at Burger King. And she starts to back up, and somebody's behind her, so she just waited, you know, and then they just went right through at the drive-through window and waved at the people and just went on their way and eventually found their way to the freeway. But listen, you got to have a goal. You got to have an aim. You got to have a focus. We talked last week about how our focus is Christ and what he's called us to do. So I won't say too much, but it's a definite aim. It needs to be clearly seen. It needs to be something. You know, the Bible says, write down the vision that he who reads it may run. Write it down. Write down the vision so that he who reads it may run. Listen, if it's only you that's reading it, you still need to write it down so that you can see it, you can have a tangible goal, and you can run with that. Something that you can do in your life. You can have a clearly defined goal. Something that you can see. A definite aim. First thing tonight is temperance. Second thing is certainty. And the third thing tonight, found in verse number 27, he says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. It would be the saddest thing in the world to preach the gospel and go to hell. Be the saddest thing. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He says, I'm disciplining myself. And he reminds us that he's human. Thank God that he did. Because, I mean, you look at what this guy did in his life and you say, man, I could never do that. But he's human just like all of us. Pastor Dan is human. I am not some superhuman who never fails. I have failures. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. But you know what? We need to bring our body into captivity. The Bible says, let's look at it again. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. You know what another translation of subjection is, if you look it up in the original language? He says, let me read it this way. Bring it into captivity as your slave. Wow. I mean, the flesh is going to try and bring you into captivity as its slave. You know, we've been reading in Galatians in the main sanctuary and just been finding out that, you know, Paul kept saying, why are you going back into bondage? Why are you going back into slavery? Why are you going back to those things? You're no longer a slave. You're a son. What are you doing? We are not enslaved. We bring ourselves into captivity and put the flesh as our slave. See, the body's a bad master, but it's a good slave. Amen. And you can do it with the power of God working on the inside of you. You can bring your body into subjection. When you link up with the Spirit of God, you find out how to discipline yourselves. You know, we all don't like discipline. Nobody likes discipline. Nobody wants to be disciplined, but it's a necessary thing in our life in order for us to succeed. You have to discipline yourself. You know, there was a movie where a guy wanted to skip parts of his life. Some of you guys saw it. It's called Click, I think. You know, he had that remote control, went to Bed Bath & Beyond, and he found the Beyond section, and he went in there and he got this remote control, and he could skip parts of his lives. And if he didn't want to do work or something like that, he'd go ahead and, you know, he'd push the fast forward button. Fast forward, speed through the work. You know, and the stuff that he wanted to do, if he wanted to go take a nap or something like that, he'd push pause and he'd go take a nap on the couch and then wake up and go through the rest of his life. And at the beginning of the movie, you're thinking, man, that's a great idea. God, I wish I could do that, just fast forward through the, you know, hard parts of life. But at the end of the movie, he realizes that he has missed out on his kids. He's divorced because he missed out on his marriage. Yeah, he's wealthy. Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff. Yeah, he's got a cushioned life, but there was no disciplines in his life. And he was miserable at the end of his life. And I think at the end of the movie, he woke up and it was a dream. Right? Something like that. But you know what? For us, we need to be careful that we don't go into autopilot. That as we go into 2009, that we don't get undisciplined. That we don't find ourselves just checking out or fast-forwarding mentally and missing out on things. It's okay to pause certain times. You know, when you're in the presence of God, stay there, man. Just go ahead and stay there in the presence of God and get everything that you can, but be there while you're there. Don't fast forward. You know, some of you guys, even tonight, you may have checked out mentally. Get back in. Don't miss what it is that God has for you this year. So three things tonight. If we're going to run in the direction that God's called us to. Number one is temperance. Number two is certainty, that clear, defined aim. And the third thing is discipline. Like what John Maxwell said, he said, a dream without the discipline to achieve that dream only makes us a daydreamer. It's true. A dream without the discipline to achieve that dream only makes us a daydreamer. So what are you going to do? Are you just going to dream, or are you going to go out and get things done? You know, we had a guest speaker on Wednesday night, and Pastor Jim gave a great compliment to him. He said, this man is a true visionary. You know, there's lots of people that have vision. They see things, they want to do things, they've got plans, things going on, but they never carry it to completion. He said, this guy's a true visionary. He not only sees things, but then he goes and he makes them happen. Why? Because he's temperate. Why? Because he's got clearly defined goals. He's got an aim. He's got a vision. And because he's disciplined. If we're going to raise the bar in 2009, we've got to get ourselves under God's control, get focused and get that clear aim, and then start to discipline ourselves. Even though we don't like the word, even though we don't like to do that, let's discipline ourselves and let's get there and let's praise God when we get there because he is faithful. Amen? Did you guys get something out of the word tonight? Let's give him a praise. Hallelujah.